Hey everybody, welcome to Respawn Aim Fire, Kickass Urban Game Podcast from Raffle Idiots. I'm your host, Adam Gumbert, and let me tell you, Adam's sick. We didn't have a regular podcast this week. I'm out of it. We're going to have a good time. Today we're going to be Raff reviewing a little game called Pathfinder Galaspire Survivors, but I have a super cool guest with me, like the coolest person I met at PAX East. Second coolest, because Jacob McCourt's always number one in my heart.
I was right there. I was at the top of the list for a minute. No, it's, damn you, McCourt.
It's CJ Danny B. What's up, bud?
Yo, what's popping, homie? How we doing?
I am not a human being. I legitimately don't know what's going on half the time, and then I got sick and it became worse.
I get it.
But tell everybody about yourself. By the way, thanks for coming on.
Of course.
Here's the thing. I'll start it off. We're going to talk about a Vampire Survivors game in a Pathfinder universe. Mm. We'll get there in a minute. It's fine. I love going to PAX East and just PAX in general, meeting people, right? Yeah. Like, that's always the coolest thing, is like meeting new folks. Like, the fact that we run in the same circles and never like knew about each other.
Yeah.
And now I'm bugging you all the time. I'm like, what's the last message I sent? It was about playing 33 Immortals.
You're like, yo, I was watching the podcast. I'm down for 33 Immortals. I'm like, let's do it. Put it on the list.
Absolutely. So like PAX, I love, does that. We're like, hey, these random people that I either knew or didn't know, or knew as on a screen or as a voice, and you get to hang out with them. CJ Danny B will be with us on another RAF show coming up. Maybe it's a game show. Maybe
I explode. We'll see. I plan to be there.
So that'll be cool. But yeah, tell everybody about what you do in general.
Yeah, CJ Danny B, but I just also go by Danny. I create content on TikTok, YouTube, Twitch. Usually focus around indie games, trying to showcase some games that everyone's just like, oh, there's nothing to play. I'm so mad at Fortnite. Apex is kicking my ass. I'm like, here's like 7,000 other games you could play, and that's just scratching the surface. So, yeah, I love to cover things that people don't know exist, and then they're just like, oh, my God, Danny, I love that game you showed me. Moonlighter is my favorite thing in the world. And I just get an adrenaline high from that, dude. that's the whole reason I do it, for the high.
I love it. It's very fun that me and you are in that same position where Well, I mean, we're just like the best people in the field, but then also because
there's no lie. Where's the lie?
There it is. The thing is, because I really enjoy – I play games, right? Like a lot of stuff. So obviously indies is like a big part of that, because there's so much variety and so much different things. Let me tell you. So again, talking about PAX East, we took some appointments to play some stuff, right?
Yeah.
And two of my co-hosts, Chad and Alex, who aren't here, so they can't talk smack, were like, hey, this game looks really, really cool. We're going to go play it. And it was a game called Deathbound. It's like a party-based Souls-like. And I was like, interesting. So I basically didn't, I was quiet the whole weekend. And then they played and like, oh yeah, cool, cool. I was like, hey guys, you remember literally, 2 months ago on the podcast when I previewed the game on the podcast you guys were on? They're like, no, we've never, they literally acted like they had never heard of Deathbound before. And I was like, I literally played the demo and previewed it on the podcast you were there for. So I get your thing. We're like, hey, here's this awesome thing. And they just, these idiots.
That's crazy. That's wild. I would have been petty. I would have pulled up the VOD and be like, yo, check this out. And then it's just clipped me on my phone. Just like, hey, do you guys hear about this game, Deathbound? Like, crazy.
That's wild.
Oh, man. First time you guys heard of it. Crazy.
It's wild how you guys never listen to anything I say. That's why I'll just ignore you complaining about Final Fantasy VII. I don't care.
That's crazy.
It's a loopy one. But yeah, so game talking about Pathfinder Galaspire Survivors. It's from BKOM Studios, BKOM Studios. Released in 1.0 on April 4th. Basically, the base thing of this is like, all right, do you guys know what Pathfinder is? As a big D&D guy, right? I've played Dungeons & Dragons for 7-8 years at this point, something like that. Pathfinder is another game based off of 3rd edition D&D. Became its own thing in 2009 is when the 1st edition came out. And they basically said, all right, the license of Pathfinder, so think your fantasy, you got your rogue, your magician, your fighter, you know, fighting zombies and wights and ghouls and all that stuff. But then they're just like, how about Vampire Survivors? So it's literally just give me the fantasy stuff plus Vampire Survivors. It's very cool. The Steam page, I'll just read real quick. A roguelike survivor game set in the beloved world of Pathfinder. Enter Galaspire, Pathfinder's legendary Tower of Darkness, alongside your fearless companion. Slay hordes of enemies, upgrade your arsenal, overcome deadly bosses. So basically that's what, again, Vampire Survivors, mixed with a fantasy setting. A question for you. This is how they want to start it. What is your history with... So I'm a nerd, so I do play D&D. I'm actively playing Pathfinder right now. Like I'm in a Tuesday night game where we play Pathfinder. Do you have any history with either Pathfinder, D&D, this tabletop role-playing world? And what is your history with the genre of, I guess, what do we call these? I just, vampire survivor-likes, I guess?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, action, bullet hell, roguelike survivors. Yeah, I think survivor-likes is like the default.
But, yeah.
But yeah, so we started playing D&D. My friend Hobo Monkey Connor's been playing like his entire life. His dad taught him whatever, and then back in college, like, I don't know if you ever played. You want to check it out? So I'm often in this, like, we play a campaign, we finish that campaign, like 3 years off, play another campaign, finish it, 3 years off. So like we're currently in another campaign. I'm playing an Air Genasi bard named Flux. He's a pain in the ass, and I love him. He is just me, except a lot more blue and has way more hair, and I love him. But yeah, I've been on and off for D&D like for probably the last 10 years or so. But it's always one of those, like, once I finish a campaign and then I get to the next one, I'm like, okay, which one's the D20 again? How do I play this game? Like, I forget everything about the game until we're like 2-3 weeks in. But I've never touched Pathfinder, nothing about Pathfinder. So anytime I'm talking about this, I'm like, it's D&D meets Vampire Survivors. Then I have to backpedal because I'm like, well, it's Pathfinder, which is kind of, it's a tabletop RPG. Because then I have to explain, because as soon as I say Pathfinder, I think everyone defaults to, like, the robot from Apex Legends? I'm like, no, it's a different thing. But yeah, so, like, getting into this one where I was just, like, I'm comfortable enough right now in D&D, and I'm just like, oh, if there was a bard class, I feel like I'd be right at home, and I'd be doing what, like, my current character is. But yeah, mixing all the cool spells and stuff you see in, like, the tabletop RPG in a Vampire Survivors formula is really dope. I'm digging it.
No. And then what is your history with the vampire survivor like as well? Because I mean,
so,
well, Vampire Survivor, obviously a huge one, happened two years ago or whatever, but there's been a lot of them since then. So
yeah, so Vampire Survivors like proper was one that just kind of passed me by. Like, all my friends were playing it, I was like it looks all right, it looks cool. I didn't officially touch Vampire Survivors till the mobile one came out. And I think I paid like an hour. I'm like, I get it, I see it, this is cool. But like, I think just that medieval vampire like tone is usually not my thing. Like, Castlevania's never been for me. That whole energy is just not my vibe. But then there's things like Goobies, which is another Vampire Survivors that's super goofy. I love that one. Recently been playing Extremely Powerful Capybaras. Anything that's like a little more goofy and like colorful with that same formula definitely hits me better. I've been saying if they do like a Shovel Knight Survivors, it's done. There's nothing left to play. It's all I'm touching. But yeah, so Vampire Survivors itself was never one that I got into, but the similar gameplay styles I definitely have.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. So we're going to get into our thoughts and stuff on it. Actually, I have a fun story. This is a day full of stories first before we get into that.
Love our stories.
Right? But it is the thing where, like, yeah, I played Vampire Survivors when it came out because everyone was like, I think the first person I heard talk about it was, man, I'm so bad with which McElroy brother is which. I only know them by their voices, not by their names. But they were talking about it on Besties. And I was like, that sounds all right, I guess. And then I checked. I was, oh, yeah, I get the idea of the clicker game or the idle game where it's like, I'm playing a thing, but I'm not really playing a thing. So I can just chill out and passively do a thing, but mix it with like combat and overwhelming odds. So, okay, I get it. Definitely works out. So I've played Vampire Survivors. I've played a couple of them. I want to play the Capybara one. I have not picked it up yet, but that one looks really cool. And I'm with you on that, because as much as I liked Vampire Survivors, pixel art for me is 50-50. I think if it's like SNES era pixel art, I like it. NES era pixel art, not a super huge fan. Again, it depends.
Sure.
Like, Shovel Knight, I think, is great. That's cool. But I prefer the more colorful, like, we're working with a bigger palette here. So the idea of, okay, Vampire Survivors, but like more modern in like a top-down-ish view, or like isometric compared to just like looking at this eight sprites on a screen or whatever.
I
got down with. I was into it. But the funny story, for it to go into all of our thoughts, positive and negative on it, is that when I was, you know, playing this game, and I got on the Steam page one day, I think I was just checking out reviews or whatever it was for it, and I... on Steam, whenever you click on it, there's always like a developer stream in the corner a lot of times for a lot of these games. And I noticed a strangely familiar face that I had met in like a week beforehand. Are you on a stream for Pathfinder, Galaspire Survivors?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, very last minute out of left field thing. A funny story, maybe funny story. I don't think there's any weird embargo behind the scenes things with this or whatever. a while back when the game dropped in early access, I was getting emails from Vicarious, some of our friends from 6-1 Indie, Mike and Kyle, being like, hey, if you're interested in a key for this, I was like, nah, probably not for me, not my thing. And I think I got a key anyway, and I just redeemed it, just never played it. We go to PAX, we, you know, get to talk to each other a little bit more. And then Mike hits me up like, hey, the team's looking for a new Steam page, like stream. They want to have something new on there. Are you interested? I'm like, you know what? Sure, let's do it. So I hop on the Twitch, stream for like an hour, talking about this game, trying to be the most like professional, goofy Danny that I can. And I'm like, hey, it's a Pathfinder, Gallowspires, kind of, it's a D&D. Well, it's not D&D, it's Pathfinder. I'm screwing it up. My bad. Anyway, go wishlist, you know, that generic ad type thing without getting paid for it. But but no, I thought it was a cool thing. I was like, I'd never thought about being on like a Steam page as like that stream that played. I was like, yeah, I mean, I might as well. So yeah, that was basically like my first time touching the game, and then it's now on the Steam page. If you pull up the Steam page, you just see my gorgeous face playing this dope game. So I'm like, yeah, hell yeah.
It's so funny because I reached out to you. I'm like, hey, do you want to talk about this game and review? And you're like, yeah, sure, that sounds cool. Because I'd seen that you were, so I saw that you were going to stream the game. Like, yeah. And this was after PAX on Twitter. I was like, all right, I saw you're going to stream the game. You play the game. We can talk about it. And then I get on the Steam page after that point, being like, oh, that stream was this stream that's right here. It was so funny to me. But I was like, yeah, dude. Cool thing, though. Be like, oh, don't you just love seeing people out of nowhere that you know? Just like,
it's really cool, stuff? Right? Yeah, dude. I love it. Like, a lot of people you mentioned earlier with PAX and being like, these are people who are like usernames on a screen I haven't talked to. And then, like, again, our paths hadn't crossed prior. And then I remember like finding you on Twitter. There's even a point where I put the video up like Jacob McCourt in the Kamikaze Last Planes, and you comment, you're just like, I like the search results because Adam Gumby's like the first one on there. I'm like, I met this guy, I gotta follow him on Twitter. But yeah, seeing that excitement of like, I've seen this person before. I've seen Video Game Trivia with Jacob. I've seen Jenny do Wholesome Games and like all these other people. And I'm like, oh my God, I talked to them. I got to hang out. This is crazy. They're people now. We're friends now. Yeah.
It's cool. It's a big circle that's very small if you go to the right places, I guess. It's still crazy to me.
Yeah.
Very cool. But anyways, we're going to talk about the game now. Do you have thoughts? So here's the thing about this game is that I was looking at Steam reviews beforehand.
Yes.
And they're mixed, which I think they're very interesting. Mixed. There's some of the negatives that I actually agree with, but I think I'm more on the positive side than on the negative side of the mixed stuff. But let's start just your overall thoughts. I guess let's start with the positive stuff and then end with if you have any negative stuff. What are your overall feelings and thoughts as, you know, this kind of game? Or this game specifically, not this kind of game. Yeah.
I think if you're the type of person who loves Vampire Survivors for the formula, not necessarily the tone, the characters, everything like that, you just like the, I'm in the middle of the screen, and as I pick up things, I just keep blasting more and more and more. I think you're really going to like this. I think this game adds like a, we'll call it a co-op element. It has a co-op mode, but like you get to walk around with a companion that you get to pick. So there is, I think it's Warrior, Rogue, and Wizard are like the three classes available. My default is to play as the Wizard and then have the Warrior as my partner. And you're upgrading yourself by completing progress, beating things, doing like picking up all the XP orbs around the map. But your partner only levels up by completing like mini objectives, these little towers you can collect. So like they level up significantly slower than you. But I enjoy that a little bit more because I'm just stacking myself up and up and up and up. And I'm like, oh, by the way, you let's upgrade your hammer so it's got bigger splash damage or whatever the case is. Yeah, the repeat of just going in, dying, doing again, which like that's just a roguelike. That's what those are. I enjoy the loop without getting into like the negative of like why I kind of don't enjoy it at the same time. I think it's fun. I think the visuals are really cool. I like that as a, we'll just even consider it a baby to D&D or tabletop RPGs. I enjoy that environment and that atmosphere and that the similarities of like rolling a die and be like, oh, I got the nat 20. So I got all 5 upgrades instead of just the 4. Like I really enjoyed it. From the, if I look at my seat, I want to say probably somewhere in like the 20-ish hours, maybe that I've put into it. That's maybe I'm overselling how much it is, but I'm going to pull it up and see.
No, for sure. Yeah, I'm with
you. Yeah, I'm digging it.
I'm kind of with you on that. It's where, again, you have to like this kind of game. I don't think this is going to make a believer out of anybody. If you enjoy Vampire Survivors, obviously it's the easiest one because it's the biggest one. It does enough different because that's the thing where like if somebody makes a genre or, you know, introduces people to a kind of game and you're like, we're going to do that. You have to really do something different to not just be compared to the other guy. And I'm with you. I prefer this art style over the pixel art. I love the idea of the companion thing where like, okay, I'm going to play as this class and I bring another class with me. I know there's a way to like do like Steam Link or like Steam Couch Play.
Yeah,
whatever,
remote play or whatever.
I'm not doing any of that. I'm going to be my buff fighter guy and I'm bringing the wizard with me or whatever. So that's a nice cool wrinkle. It's like, yeah, there's a co-op companion to it. And again, the leveling up, having the dice rolls and all that. And then, of course, you as you're going through, you collect cards and equipment that you can upgrade and bring later. And they're all just like the art and the items from Pathfinder. It's like, oh, it's the crowbar, which, you know, is the real thing in Pathfinder, which helps you open doors and all that good stuff. So that's all cool. And I really like that. I like the moving around the map, moving around the tomb or whatever.
Yep.
Getting chased by a big ogre guy, killing him, upgrading your stuff. That loop is all cool. And I like the differences that they made to it. If you were not a believer in the genre of the game, like, it's not going to make you a believer. I don't think that it elevates it to that amount. But I'm like, if you like this, this is a cool alternative to one of those.
Mm-hmm.
I think it succeeds on the being a cool one of those and doing something a little bit different to keep it interesting.
I agree with that. As like, again, someone who enjoys the Survivor formula, but it all depends on like the palette that it's in, what genre, what IP, what is it? I don't see myself being like the D&D guy that wants to go play this if I hate roguelikes. But yeah, if you like roguelikes or like this particular type of Survivor roguelike, and you're like, I could do with or without D&D, like, I think it's worth a shot. I think it's a fun time to try it.
All right, very cool. Now, I want to talk about some negatives because it is, here's the thing, it's not super deep of a game. I mean, the game is $6.99 on Steam, just for a heads up. So like, it's not like we have like a story. I mean, there's stories, like, let me be honest, this story stuff never mattered to me in these kind of games. I'm just playing it.
Oh yeah, I spam that dog.
Does not matter. So we're just basically like, what is the gameplay? What are the characters? What are that stuff? On the negative, so when I go on the Steam page,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of these people who are, some of them are early access reviews, got to throw that out. Because like, I didn't have any technical problems because I played it in 1.0 release. Everything was fine for me. One thing that some people brought up being like, I'm super big into Pathfinder and they don't really use any of the Pathfinder stuff in the way that I would want. Mm-hmm. And while I don't 100% agree, I kind of get it. Just having like the three characters are like, you have a fighter, you have a rogue, you have a wizard, right? Which I think it's cool. It gives you different abilities or whatever. But, you know, the whole thing about Pathfinder tabletop is, you know, customization. I don't feel like there's a ton of customization. It's basically like, here's the skill tree, do the skill tree, and then that is all you can do. So like, basically, if you have a high level, you know, you get through a bunch of rooms and you have a high level fighter, it's basically going to be the same from every run, no matter what you do, which I don't think is a huge deal. But I guess when people are like, well, this is based off an RPG where it's just all about choice, I guess so. That one I'm kind of iffy on. But like, I get it. Like, there's three classes and basically three things you can do. But I don't have a huge issue with it. But I see not having enough variety becoming a thing in the long run, being like, yeah, I wish there was a ranger. I wish there was a gunslinger instead. That would be cool to have additional options, but there are the three options. So I guess take it or leave it, I guess, in that way.
Yeah. I like to hope they're adding more classes. I don't know what the roadmap for this looks like. I never looked too deep into it. But yeah, for a game that's like $7, I think this is like properly scaled, but I do think there is a lack of content when I say that, in the way that, like, when I hopped on, I was like, I want to play wizard, but I'm going to try all the class and see what they do. So I started with what became my default build, wizard with a warrior companion or fighter, whatever the technical one is in here. And then I cycled. I'm like, I'm going to go warrior with the rogue. And as I'm upgrading the rogue, and maybe I just didn't get deep enough, but I'm like, I feel like this feels very similar to the fighter. Like, it's not a drastic change. So I feel like the default, if you want either two fighters, because you can't pick the same class, you can't have two wizards, you have to do, because you kind of define a character. Like, when you make it, you name your three characters. Like, I have my fighter, my rogue, my wizard, but then you can't pick that companion to come with you. You have to go with one of the other classes. So if you want two melee-based classes, you can do that, but you can only have one spell-based class, and then you have to take out the rogue or the warrior. And at that point, I'd already put so much time into the warrior, it just made no sense to take the rogue, like, at all. Yeah. So the rogue literally is sitting at, like, level one, has not been touched for me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I continue to progress, it's kind of a slog in the way that there is a lot to upgrade. Like, one of the tasks to upgrade your companions, getting these little cards, which I think you mentioned earlier with, like, the crowbar. But there's, like, 15 pages of items, monsters to that you can do damage to and everything like that. And you have to find the card, and then you can spend the money that you get to upgrade it. And it's like, oh, you'll do more damage to armored characters. You'll do more damage with spells. You'll have higher defenses, et cetera, et cetera. But then there's multiple cards that have that same description, as well as multiple cards that do very similar things, but then you got to put your money into one and then the other. It's just a lot. And I think that kind of pads out the playtime with only five maps, I think. That I think kind of makes it feel a little bloated, to where, like, if there was just a couple more maps and maybe the difficulty curve changed a bit, where it's like, oh, it still gets harder as you go, but like, I'm like hard stuck in world three right now because I get to the third level of that. And then it's just like too many. I'm like, at some point I didn't upgrade enough to take out these hordes fast enough, and I'm just done and I'm out. But then my default is to go back in, and I have to get like four more of the purple coins to upgrade my wizard again to get the right spells to do more damage. And like, you get like maybe a purple coin per run. And I'm like, this is a slog. This takes a long time to do.
I just got to keep redoing. I'm with you on that, because I got a clear on my very first attempt, which was pretty
good.
Not too bad. But I will say, after that, it was like, well, I used the fighter and I had the wizard as my companion. And yeah. I'm with you. It's like, once you start upgrading that, it's like, what do I need to use the rogue for? Like,
yeah,
the fighter has armor and the wizard does the damage with the elemental spells. But yeah, it is very much like, I did a run. It's like, you got three coins. It's like, cool.
Yep.
That's cool at level one. But like, when you're 20 hours in and I'm trying to upgrade everybody, I'm with you. But it's like, I think for the $7, and I get 10 good hours out of it, I find that hard to complain. If I want to keep grinding and get mad about it, is that my fault or is it the game's fault? I guess the game could be better at that, but also I got my money's worth out of it at that point. So,
someone who got it for free, I got my money's worth.
It's still your time, though. You still had to pay.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, I said 20 hours. I guess it just felt longer. I have like 10.1 hours. I don't know where that 20 came from.
Man, I can never tell. I can never tell, man. I'm like, how long? Oh, this is only 3 hours. That's it, huh?
Those late nights of playing, I'm just like, man, I must have put at least 15 hours in by now. I'm like, 10? Okay, never mind. I lied.
Yeah, that's how it goes. But I'm with you. I think overall, like I said, if this is your kind of thing, and if the change of scenery interests you in the companion system, for the price of these kind of games, because most of them are not super expensive, I'm like, sure, give that a try. But I do think that there is, at the moment, there's a cap on how much stuff you can do. And hopefully, like, maybe they continue to update it in the future. But it is, you know, if you're into it, sure. Hope more comes. Because if you're like, this is going to become my life, I don't know if it's that kind of game, but I definitely enjoyed my time with it, and I had nothing to complain about, personally.
Okay. Yeah, I think in the spot, like, if right now someone said, you know what, Danny, after this podcast, you're done. You're never touching Pathfinder, Galaspire again. I'm like, okay, I can survive with that. Like, I could see it sitting on my PC, and I'm like, I got no other, like, roguelike that I'm invested in. So, like, let me hop in for a couple runs. But, like, even as I look at the progression, right? So there's four levels, and then there's, like, five or six difficulties. Mm-hmm. But now maybe I just don't know how to play the game right. But like, I've not been able to select a different difficulty. So I don't know if you have to beat all four stages and then difficulty two and then do that again. Yeah. So like, maybe it's technically 20, 24 levels of difficulty as you progress. But I think the difficulty is in the waves. Like, as you get to wave two and three of each run, that's where I find myself dying the most. And then I don't have the currency, so I have to run in, get more currency. And then I think I've taken out each boss in two attempts. The first one being like, I don't know what their thing is. I don't know what their attack patterns are. That's where I die. But now I know next time. So I fight through a wave again, maybe five or six more attempts, get to the boss, beat him that time. And then do that again for wave, you know, for level two, level three. And I don't know if it's like that weird algorithm. It's just like, all right, make it really hard until like they can maybe get three coins and buy another upgrade to increase their fire damage. Or maybe I put like my spread of abilities too much. I like to balance things out. And instead of doing like, let me put 20 coins in this, I said everything, let's put one coin in each one. And then as I get to level two, now it costs two coins. I'm gonna put more in my fire, ice, electric, and so on and so forth. But yeah, I don't know. The balance seems a little weird when it goes to progression, but
yeah. Very good. All right. Well, that is our thoughts on Pathfinder, Galaspire, Survivors. Danny, is there anything you want to let people know before we get out of here?
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, you can find me over on YouTube, Twitch, and TikTok at CJDannyB. And you can check out our brand new podcast, Playlog, where we talk about all kinds of things, indie news. We do breakdowns. The last two episodes have been very long because we have the Triple I Initiative and the Nintendo Indie World Direct. And I'm like, 2 hours each.
I had two fingers up, 2 hours each. Yeah. I was into
it. Listen, I could talk for 3-4 hours, and I'm sure we'll have episodes that are longer. But I was like, someone's going to find the show and be like, the first couple episodes are so long. I'm like, they're supposed to be an hour. I blame Nintendo. Why are you shadow dropping Direct? Stop doing that. Tell us ahead of time. But yeah, we do indie discussions. We're planning to do some ones with, like, indie game drafts. Talk about, like, our Wheel of Shame, games we haven't played before that, like, every indie player should play. So yeah, we do that every Thursday. It drops at noon. So yeah, if you like indie games, come check us out.
All right, dope. Thank you very much for coming on. You can guys catch us. Podcast, Normal Places, Respawn, Aim Fire, the YouTube channel. And again, keep an eye out for our next monthly game show, because maybe a familiar face will be on there. What's going to happen? I literally do not know. They do not tell me what's going to happen. So we'll figure out when we get there. But thanks again. Bye.
Bye.